You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The NFL Podcast with Gil Alexander and Dave Kellner.
Good to have you with us ahead of week 16 in the National Football League. It is Dave Kellner here in the studio in the United Kingdom and joined by the host of the Beating the Book podcast, Gil Alexander, who's on the line live from San Francisco on this Friday morning. First of all, a warm welcome to Mr. Gil Alexander. Good morning to you, Gil.
Good morning, Dave. Happy holidays. Merry Christmas. How you doing, man?
I'm doing very well. I love week 16 in the National Football League, Gil, because we have so many things being worked out and we have discussions about whether a team's going to make the postseason or not, etc., etc., etc. And here in the UK, we have virtually no live sport other than American football on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. So this is pretty much all we bet on at this time of year, Gil.
Yeah, it's a fun time of year. You're right. In week 16... particularly is an interesting one because week 17, let's face it, there's a lot of teams that are done. There's a lot of teams that have clinched and have nothing to play for. We actually got our first team now that has nothing to play for based on last night's result. But week 16 is usually the one where, you know, you have the most teams with the most on the line at any point. And that's what we got coming up this weekend.
And we're going to go through five games on this podcast, listeners. So five games that Gil's going to give you his opinion on, and we start with the Miami Dolphins at the Buffalo Bills, which is Christmas Eve, 6 p.m. start time. The Dolphins 7-4 on the money line. The Bills are 10-21, and this spread is set at 4 at the moment. The Dolphins +4, 10-11. The Bills -4 at 10-11, and a low points total here as well, 42. The total points, the under again 10-11, the over 10-11. And Gil, Miami looking to make the playoffs for the first time since 2008. And they will clinch their spot if they win in Buffalo and Denver lose against Kansas City in a game we will speak about shortly. And the Dolphins have won 8 of their last 9 games now, and they do control their own destiny. But this is a tough trip. They're going from the sunny climes of Miami into New Era Field to take on the Bills. And we're expecting driving freezing rain ahead of this one, Gil. So it's going to be a different climate to what the Dolphins are accustomed.
That's right. You do it all. You are a weatherman as well, Dave. Exactly right. Got your old radar out there. Freezing rain in the forecast. Exactly. And yeah, for those who are listening who aren't familiar with the climates, as you point out, that are varying in, you know, different in America, Miami, beautiful, Buffalo, that's what you get this time of year. And Miami and Buffalo are in the same division. It's a relic from the old days of the American Football Conference and American Football League. And so that's why they're in division. And Miami oftentimes has to play these late December games in Buffalo. And for them, it's just a departure from what they're used to. So as you point out, first things first, Miami controls their own destiny, trying to get their first playoff berth since 2008. They do so with a win here at Buffalo and then a win next week, or a win here at Buffalo and a Denver loss in Kansas City this week. They can get in both of those two ways. And if you're a Miami fan, you should be rooting for the Colts this week, because if the Patriots beat the Jets and the Colts beat Oakland, that'd clinch the number one seed for New England, and then they'd possibly sit all their starters next week against Miami. So anyway, if you're a Dolphins fan, that's what you're looking at. But first things first, Miami's got to get past Buffalo. And Buffalo, technically, Dave, still alive, but let's be honest, what they have to do is just ridiculous. They'd have to win both of their games. The Colts would have to lose one of their final two games. The Broncos would have to lose at least one of their, at least to Oakland, if not both games. Titans would have to lose twice. Ravens would have to lose twice. Dolphins would have to lose next week as well. So Buffalo is really just playing for pride. They're probably just playing for Rex Ryan's job, if that hasn't been decided already by Bills management. Tyrod Taylor, their quarterback, is playing for a contract. So it's all about pride for the Bills. And yet, this is one of those spots where there's a reason why the Bills are favored by four. It's a game where Rex Ryan will get his guys to turn it on, and I think the matchup favors the Bills. Now, I don't know that I would rush to play it giving four, but I think that spread is justified.
And I suppose if we're talking about turning points in a season, the first, you mentioned these two are divisional rivals in the AFC East, and the first matchup between the pair earlier in the season was a turning point for Buffalo, because they were 4-2 going into that matchup in week 8 and leading by 11 points going into the fourth quarter against the Dolphins, and eventually lost by 3. So that was a pivotal match in hindsight in the Bills' season.
Yeah, that was a huge game, and you said it correctly. They were up 11 in the fourth quarter, and that was one of those games in midseason where Jay Ajayi of the Dolphins just went nuts. 214 yards rushing in that game. Miami had 256 total yards rushing, but Ajayi, who's cooled off a little over the past few weeks, was right in his prime form at that point. I don't think we can expect that from the Dolphins on Saturday. And again, all these games are on Saturday. All these games that we're talking about early, unless we note, are a day earlier this weekend because of Christmas. It's a tough environment for Miami, and of course we might have buried the headline, the fact that this is Matt Moore and not Ryan Tannehill for the Dolphins. Let's keep that in mind. Matt Moore, who looked good against the Jets in what will have been an extra rest situation 10 days or 9 days prior to this game kicking off. It's one thing to play the Jets at home on a Thursday short week. Jets aren't very good, as we know. This is going to be a real test for Matt Moore, a guy who hasn't thrown many passes over the last 5 years, 35 total before his start last week. It's going to be a tough test for him. I like Buffalo here, but again, I like him to win. I don't know if I would play the spread so much.
The Buffalo Bills on the money line available at 10-21. Just before we move on to the next game, a quick word on Tyrod Taylor, because you mentioned the Bills. They must decide by March whether to pick up the option on a 5-year, $90 million contract extension for Tyrod Taylor. We talked a great deal last week about Kirk Cousins and the Redskins. Are the Bills in a similar dilemma with Tyrod Taylor?
Well, it's a little bit different because with Tyrod Taylor, the team has the option just to extend an already signed contract. So it's not quite the cataclysmic decision that the Redskins have to make, because Kirk Cousins, in effect, is not under contract. So Kirk Cousins, if he wanted to, could actually walk. He could say, goodbye, Redskins. You know what? You don't want to give me a long-term contract? See you later, buddy. Tyrod Taylor doesn't have that option right now. It's all up to the Bills. And, you know, it is a big decision in the one respect that it is similar to the Redskins, is the fact that you have a quarterback in Tyrod Taylor, much like Kirk Cousins, who is clearly not in the top 10 of NFL quarterbacks. Clearly, he is outside of the top 10. Now, is he better than the bottom half? Yeah, probably. So that means you're probably looking at, you know, somewhere between the 12th to 16th best quarterback in the NFL. Do you really want to commit, in the Bills' case, $30 million to a guy over the next 2 seasons who you probably won't be able to do any better than? But will you really win a Super Bowl with him? It's this very strange dilemma to be in, where it's like, well, what are we really about? Are we about winning Super Bowls? Are we about looking at our salary cap? What is it that we really prioritize? And of course, in Buffalo, again, they have a coaching decision to make as well.
The Buffalo Bills, the selection on the money line here at 10-21. Let's move on to the Indianapolis Colts at the Oakland Raiders, which is, again, Christmas Eve, 9:05 start time in the UK. And the Colts are 33-20 on the money line. The Raiders are 10-19. And this spread is currently set at 3.5. The Colts plus 3.5, 10-11. And the Raiders minus 3.5 at 10-11. We've got two franchises here whose fortunes could be very different. The Colts are 500, but things could have been different for the Colts. They've lost some close games, and four of their games, at least this season, could have gone either way. They need to win their last two games and hope that both Tennessee and Houston lose to keep their hopes alive. And at the other end of the spectrum, you have the Oakland Raiders, who have won 8 games by a touchdown or less. and will be playing postseason football for the first time in 14 years. It shows you how fine the margins are in the National Football League, Gil.
Yeah, it's a great point. It's a very good point. And in fact, if you talk to some advanced stats guys, they will tell you that they don't think the Oakland Raiders are any better at 11-3 than the San Diego Chargers are at 5-9. So imagine that if some people who really are smart people believe that 11-3 to 5-9, that's a pretty eye-opening statement to make. So here you have the Colts, you know, works out for one team, it just doesn't work out for the other. And that's why betting is so interesting in the NFL, because the record tends to shape opinion more than anything. Perhaps justifiably, perhaps not. In this particular matchup, the Colts 3.5-point underdogs. I'm going to perhaps go against the grain here and shock you here. I like the Colts getting the 3.5. You know, one of the things, doesn't apply necessarily directly to this game, but one of the big tenets at this time of year is, you know, the public tends to emphasize the team that needs it more, quote unquote. Really, the team is in a must-win situation. That must be the team I should bet on. Well, as my friend Dr. Bob, an American sports handicapper, likes to say, if you're in a must-win situation, you must not be that good to begin with. And I think that's a great tenet to go with. So let's keep that in mind. Last night, for instance, the Giants really needed that game against the Eagles. The Eagles have nothing to play for, and the Eagles beat them outright. So keep that in mind as we go through these games. Anyway, this particular one is not quite applicable, but it's similar in that, you know, you have a Raiders team, as you point out, they are already in. They actually are still playing for the number one seed in the playoffs. They could still win a tiebreaker against the Patriots if the Raiders win out and the Patriots go 1-1 down these final two games. Unlikely, but still a scenario we have to point out. The Colts, as you point out, to get the division, they'd have to win and have Houston and Tennessee lose. There is a scenario where they could still get a wild card, but again, let's be honest, they need the Dolphins, the Broncos, and the Ravens to all lose their final two games to get a wild card. So the Colts are really just praying here that they have a shot at the division. Derek Carr is playing with an injured right pinky finger, Dave, and that has clearly affected his play. He's had a great year, 3,705 yards passing, 25 touchdowns, just 6 picks. But in the last couple weeks, 36 of 71 for just 330 yards total. That is telling, and you'll notice that the Raiders are only operating out of the shotgun. They don't want him taking snaps directly under center because they don't want the possibility of that snap exchange hurting his finger even further. So I don't like that about the Raiders right off the top. But Andrew Luck and the Colts, they just don't lose on the road, Dave. They have won a handful of games on the road already this season. Actually, they're going for their 5th straight victory on the road this season. I really like Andrew Luck and the Colts to show up here and get the cover. You're giving me 3 and the hook. I will happily take those points.
The Colts are playing plus 3.5 at 10-11. Are the Oakland Raiders the biggest surprise in the NFL this season, the fact that they've gone 11-3 up to this point, Gil?
Well, I think they might be the biggest surprise to the good. But I think if you're telling me what's the biggest surprise completely, I would have to say the Arizona Cardinals at 5-8-1. Now, we can look at the Cardinals right now and say, well, Gil, they suck. Duh. Yeah, but remember what we felt about the Cardinals before this season started? I mean, they were penciled in as a playoff team, if not a division winner. They were coming off another great year. Sure, they got crushed in the playoffs. But between them at 5-8-1 and the Panthers, you know, the defending NFC champions at 6-8, I think those are the biggest surprises in the NFL, even more so than the Raiders are to the good at 11-3.
The Indianapolis Colts, the pick plus 3.5 on the spread at 10-11 at the Oakland Raiders on Christmas Eve. Let's move on to a matchup on Christmas Day. Good matchup, this one. The Baltimore Ravens at the Pittsburgh Steelers. And the Ravens are 11-5 to win this game outright. The Steelers are 5-13. And this spread is 5.5. The Baltimore Ravens plus 5.5 at 10-11, with the Pittsburgh Steelers minus 5.5 at 10-11. This is an AFC North rivalry, and it was one of the NFL's best rivalries from 2004 through 2011. They played 18 times during that span, including twice in the playoffs, and each team won 9. And when I was first getting interested in the game, Gil, this is the matchup I remember because there were some bruising, grueling battles between these two sides. And with the Bengals taking a little bit of a backward step this season, the Ravens at the Steelers is back on the agenda.
It really is. And what a great way for you to get indoctrinated into the NFL on this rivalry. It was so great. And I think we got another great one in store for us on Christmas Day. Standalone game. There's no other game going on at this point. Really funny NFL schedule this week because of Christmas. So this game, Christmas Day, and then you have another great game Christmas night. But no game this weekend has more bearing on the teams, on the participants' playoff odds. No team this weekend has a bigger bearing on the participants' Super Bowl odds based on the playoff positions that are likely to result with a win or loss here, with a loss out of the playoffs entirely. But basically, if Baltimore wins, they pull into a tie with the Steelers in the AFC North. They would actually have the lead on a head-to-head tiebreaker. They will have swept Pittsburgh, so with one game to go, they'd be in the driver's seat. If Pittsburgh wins this, they clinch the AFC North. And whoever wins this is likely to get the number three seed in the AFC, likely to. It's not clinched, but likely to get the number three seed, which would mean you don't get a first-round bye in the playoffs, but you do get a home game in the divisional round. So the Ravens have had the great success of late. They've beaten the Steelers four straight times, including by a touchdown earlier this year at Baltimore. I wouldn't read too much into that. I think the key stuff here is that, one, I mean, let's get this out of the way. This isn't even what I was going to say, but Pittsburgh's on a five-game winning streak. And by some measures, again, looking to the advanced metrics, Pittsburgh, according to Football Outsiders, which is a great advanced site here in the States, they're the best team in football right now. Not the best over the course of the whole season, but in the weighted metrics, they're the best. They're better than New England. They're better than Dallas. They're getting it done on both sides of the ball. But here's the key for me. Baltimore's run defense has been the real staple of this football team all season long. A little bit of a crack in the armor the last few weeks, up until, or I should say through week 12, they were giving up 3.4 yards per carry on defense were the Ravens, sort of an epic rate. It's 4.3 yards per carry now over the last 3 weeks. Not great when you're about to face Le'Veon Bell and company. And the real thing to look for here is the injury report, Dave. Will Jimmy Smith, the Ravens standout cornerback, will he be in the lineup? Because with or without Jimmy Smith, the Ravens' defensive performance is markedly different. Warren Sharp, who's a great handicapper of football, has been on my podcast, Beating the Book podcast, many times. Warren Sharp has a great stat. The Ravens, with Jimmy Smith, have the number one overall defense, according to his numbers, in all of football, with a 39% success rate allowed in opposing plays. Number six versus the pass, 43%. Success rate allowed to the opposing offense. Without Jimmy Smith, they go from number one overall to number 27 overall.
Wow.
Allowing 49% success rate. And the pass defense goes from number six, to dead last in the NFL, number 32. So the presence or lack thereof of Jimmy Smith alone is perhaps the most single key thing in this football game.
He must be the most valuable player, according to Football Outsiders anyway, Gil, the most valuable player on the defensive side of the ball in the National Football League then, with those stats, you'd think.
Yeah. Well, this one is according to Warren Sharp.
Warren Sharp, I do apologize.
Well? Yeah, no, that's okay. I mean, both are, I've cited both in this particular show. But yeah, that has got, I mean, listen, he won't get the ink that Von Miller gets with the Denver Broncos. But this guy makes such an impact in ways that the average fan with their naked eye can't really detect while watching a game. And it is huge for this, because if Big Ben doesn't have him to contend with, man, you're going to see Antonio Brown go crazy as well.
This line was always going to move in one direction, wasn't it, Gillen? And the Steelers have attracted support. They are the more public of the two teams. -5.5 now, the Steelers, and that could yet move north, I'm guessing, Gil.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're right that there was always going to be Steelers money here. It hasn't gone through any key number to this point. It has moved a little, but, you know, 4.5 to 5, not really anything special. It could get up there to 6, 6.5 by game time. Certainly one of those situations where if you like the Steelers, get in your bets early. And if you like the Ravens, you might want to wait.
Have you got any lean here, Gil, or are you just waiting for the team news?
Oh, I'm with the Steelers. I have a sense that Jimmy Smith is not going to play. And if Jimmy Smith is not going to play again, the Ravens secondary becomes, or their corners anyway, become Sharice Wright opposite rookie Tavon Young. I like that for the Steelers.
The Steelers, the pick, -5.5 at 10-11. Let's move to primetime now. A Sunday night game, the Christmas Day night game, is the Denver Broncos at the Kansas City Chiefs. And the Broncos are 33-20 to win this on the money line. The Chiefs are 10-19. And this spread is 3.5. The Broncos +3.5 at 5-6, with the Kansas City Chiefs -3.5 at even money. This is an AFC West clash, and undoubtedly one of the best matchups of the week. Both teams coming off a loss, though, here. The Chiefs are 10-4 after being beaten by the Titans, and the Broncos are 8-6 after being handily taken care of by the Patriots last weekend. And I think the loss against Tennessee for the Kansas City Chiefs last week, that was a big shot, Gil. The manner of the defeat as well, given the Chiefs were leading.
The manner of the defeat, certainly, yeah. The Chiefs were up. They looked like they had that game sealed a couple times, and the Titans managed to come back both times and, again, kick the game-winning field goal, having done so after Andy Reid did the old freeze job on the kicker where he called a timeout and the kick still went off and missed. And then once you see that as a fan, you're like, oh, no, now that he gets a legit shot, you know this is going through. And sure enough, 55-yarder for Ryan Succop of the Titans, who used to play for the Chiefs, by the way. But the Chiefs do need a victory. If they win, they're in the playoffs. That's how simple it is for the Chiefs. And the Chiefs are still trying to get to the AFC West title. They would need some help from the Colts beating the Raiders here, for starters. But the Chiefs right now are trying for both of those things, the playoffs and the AFC West title at best. Broncos, for them, it's pretty simple. And I know there's a scenario where they don't have to win both of their games to get into the playoffs. But really, if you're a Broncos fan, just know this, that scenario is negligible in terms of percentage probability. The Broncos basically have to win here against the Chiefs, and then they're going to have to beat the Raiders next week to make it back to the playoffs. This is the Super Bowl champions we're talking about. They're on the outside looking in, and you really can't blame Trevor Siemian, Dave. He, you know, were it not for Dak Prescott and earlier in the season Carson Wentz, we'd be talking about Trevor Siemian as a really respectable rookie quarterback. But his offensive line and his running game have completely failed him. And so he's doing what he can. But, you know, look, Denver last week only ran for 58 yards against the Patriots. They were 2-for-17 on third downs. That's going to happen if you're one-dimensional. So they got to do something about that. 2-for-17 on third down is just awful. You know, by the way, the Chiefs, I should say, during the second halves of the last three games, they've only produced 9 points total in the third and fourth quarters. They haven't even, forget scoring a touchdown, they haven't even set up for a field goal in the second half of the last three games. So both teams really have to take care of some issues on offense.
It does set up as a defensive battle, definitely, Gil, and that's why the total points line is set at 37 here. The under 10-11 with the over in the betting at 10-11. Is that how you see it materializing then? Do you see it as a defensive battle?
I do. I do see it as a defensive battle, which is not really stepping out on a limb. It's going to be cold in Kansas City. Arrowhead Stadium is a really tough place for opponents to play. I think this is one of those proverbial games where the team that makes the key mistake, whoever blinks first, right, whoever flinches first, whatever the expression is, that's the team that is going to go down. And when it comes to mistakes, you know, look, in terms of our handicapping, can mistakes or can the inducing of mistakes be a predictive thing? Well, with the Chiefs, you know, look, they have made their hay. They give up a lot of yards on defense. You know, they're unlike the Broncos. The Broncos' defense is still the number one defense in football. They've got the number one pass defense, do the Broncos. Their problem is not on defense. Their problem is on offense and on special teams. Hasn't been good either way. The Chiefs, on the other hand, they give up a lot of yards on defense, but they lead the league in takeaways with 28 of them, and they have a +13 turnover differential, which is, you know, only second best. The only team that's better than that is the Raiders. But you ask yourself, okay, that's great, But is that something that we can rely upon with the Chiefs? Again, you know, there are teams that somehow have a knack for this. They are gamblers in the secondary. They sustain this for an entire season. I always bring up the 1983 Redskins. I know that goes a long way back. But the Redskins were plus 40-something in turnover differential that year, which is an NFL record that will never be broken. Every week they were plus three. That's how they played football. They just didn't give it up on offense, and they were able to get some great ball hawkers on defense. Chiefs are kind of like that. They are so mistake-free on offense. And keep in mind, even with that loss last week to the Titans in the waning seconds, the Chiefs have still won 20 of their last 24 regular season football games. That's unbelievable. We lose sight of that. And so much of that is just because they don't give the ball up. And you know what? I don't think they're going to give the ball up on Sunday night. I like the Chiefs here, especially now, Dave, that we're seeing some threes pop up.
Yes.
So if you can get the Chiefs minus three, that's a heck of a bet for me.
It is currently 3.5 with William Hill, but it is moving towards three. So maybe wait until game time on Christmas night for that one. Let's finish with the Detroit Lions at the Dallas Cowboys, which is Monday night football, early hours of Tuesday morning here in the UK. And the Lions are 12-5 to win outright. The Cowboys are 5-14. And the spread is 7. The Detroit Lions plus 7 at 20-23. With the Dallas Cowboys minus 7 at 20-21. The New York Giants losing to the Philadelphia Eagles on Thursday night means the Dallas Cowboys clinched home field advantage throughout the playoffs. A couple of questions here. First of all, Gil, has this affected the line? And secondly, does this affect your thinking ahead of this primetime clash?
Yeah, I mean, to the second question first, absolutely. In the sense that you don't really, especially at this time of the week here on, you know, 48 hours before game time, or in this case, 24 hours this week before game time, or this is the late game on Monday, so this is a lot before game time. We're so far ahead of this game that I don't want to commit in either direction, because this means nothing to the Cowboys now, as you point out. That Giants loss last night means the Cowboys clinched not only the NFC East, but they clinched the number one seed in the entire NFC playoff. So literally, they could sit all their players this week and next week if they wanted to, not saying that they will, and there'd be no bearing on the fact that they've got home field through the playoffs until the Super Bowl. So has the line moved? Not yet. It hasn't moved yet. It's still right around 7. You see a 6.5 or so pop up here and there. I expect this to go down. I don't think I'm stepping out on a limb by saying it'll go down some more. The question is by how much, because we don't really know how the Cowboys are going to play this. That's the issue here. We don't know if they're going to have the attitude of, well, we're a young team with a young quarterback. We don't want to lose any momentum, so we're going to just play this out as if these games matter. Or if they take the opposite tact, or some modicum of the opposite tact, and say, well, we don't want to get anybody hurt, Dave, and so we're going to rest some of our key players, or at least play them for a quarter maybe per game. And the biggest question of that comes down to the starting quarterback himself, Dak Prescott. Will we see Tony Romo these next couple weeks? Maybe we'll see him Monday night. The big issue for us as handicappers is we don't know the answers to those questions quite yet.
If I'm head coach, the Cowboys head coach, Jason Garrett, I'm thinking, why wouldn't I rest my starters in this position? And I know you mentioned momentum and maybe keeping that continuity looking to the postseason, but I'm thinking these are key personnel that we need throughout the playoffs. Why wouldn't I rest them, Gil?
Well, because you're a rational, logical person, Dave. And, well, we might go broke thinking that way. No, I'm with you. But, you know, there are people who are smarter football minds than you and me who feel the opposite. I think Bill Belichick, for instance, believes that resting players in the past has sort of hurt the Patriots on the way to the playoffs. At least that's his latest narrative about it. So, you know, in the Patriots case, let's say the Patriots were to clinch the very same thing this weekend, not saying that they will, but let's say they did. I'm not sure how the Patriots would treat Week 17. In the past, they've rested everybody. I'm not so sure that Belichick wouldn't take a different approach this year. So it's tough to gauge now that the Cowboys completely, because of last night's result, because the Giants cannot catch the Cowboys at all, this just changes everything about this game. The spread is still right there, again, as we do this on Friday morning here stateside, 6.5, 7, but that'll change. And in the Lions' case, we haven't even brought up the Lions. The Lions were thrilled by that result last night, right? Because they're like, great. Now the Cowboys don't have anything to play for. The Lions still control their own destiny. If they win out, they win the NFC North. Of course, the big showdown for the Lions is next week against the Packers, which will most likely be for the NFC North title. But regardless of what happens in this game with the Cowboys, the Lions are going to be alive for, at the very least, a wild card going into next week. So this becomes this sort of strange handicapping thing that we haven't faced yet this year, which we will probably face a lot of next week in Week 17, which is, what do you make of this right now? And the answer is, your guess is as good as mine.
That's the Detroit Lions at the Dallas Cowboys. Let's finish, as we always do, Gil, with the ACCA 5. What are your 5 best bets for the penultimate week of the regular season?
I love that you got penultimate in there for the American listeners. We don't really know what penultimate means, but I'll just tell them that penultimate means second to last, because there's going to be so many in my country that are like, wow, those are big words that Dave uses. So I just want to point that out, not to disparage the IQ of our American listeners by any stretch. But the ACCA 5 for me this week started last night with Philly, so I'm going to have to replace Philly here again. But for me, the ACCA 5 begins with the Pittsburgh Steelers. We already talked about Pittsburgh. It's actually working from the back forward. Pittsburgh, I love on Christmas Day, and I actually like the Chiefs on Christmas night. So the two that we talked about extensively, I like the two favorites in those two games on Christmas Day and Christmas night, respectively. The other three, we actually talked about one of those two, and this now we go back to Saturday, Christmas Eve Day, if you will. I like the Colts getting 3.5 against the Oakland Raiders. I think Andrew Luck and the Colts show up and make this very competitive, if not win outright. They're a great team away from home. The other two picks, I'm going to take the Washington Redskins, Dave. How about that?
Yeah.
How about me taking the Redskins? I was all about going against the Redskins last week, and rightfully so, as it turned out, against the Panthers. The Redskins laying an absolute egg on Monday night at home against the Panthers. At the time, they controlled their own destiny. Now the Redskins need help. But the Redskins can really help themselves by winning their last two games. I like the Redskins here at Chicago. They're giving 3.5. I think the Redskins are just a better football team than the Bears. I think the Redskins get it done here at Chicago. And then pick number 5. This is where we all take a big collective gulp together, Dave. You ready for this? I am taking the 0-14 Cleveland Browns. I know. Getting 5.5. What are you seeing right now, William Hill?
I'm seeing 5.5, Gil. But good news, I'm seeing the Redskins -3 now, Gil.
Oh, I like it.
Yeah.
I like that. Yeah, so Redskins -3 for sure. And then Cleveland +5.5. And before, you know, everybody starts laughing at me, the thinking here is this. Yes, I know Cleveland completely breaks hearts every week, not only win or loss, but also against the spread. But the Chargers last week played the Raiders. It was their last chance to really make any kind of splash on the season. It's a in-state rival. It's a team that they have a big rivalry with in division. They have a lot of Raiders fans in San Diego, so it's a real big, heated game. And the Chargers didn't get it done. Now their season is completely done. Now there's no incentive. They have to go out of the warmth of San Diego into Cleveland. Not completely cross-country, but cross-country enough to be in the cold, where it's supposed to be very cold this weekend. Actually, not that cold, but supposed to be a little rain this weekend there. This is a tough spot for the Chargers to get motivated for. I love Phillip Rivers, but I like Cleveland getting all those points.
Let me just spin back through those picks that Gil has for the ACCA 5. The Steelers -5.5, the Chiefs -3.5, the Colts +3.5, the Redskins -3, and the Browns +5.5 is Gil's ACCA 5 this week. Do check out ACCA 5 Insurance on the William Hill website. All the terms and conditions available there. But basically, if one lets you down, you do get a free bet up to £50 back. That's ACCA 5 Insurance here with William Hill. Gil, thank you for your company on the podcast.
Thank you, Dave, as always. Appreciate it. Happy holidays to you and all your listeners. Really appreciate you guys having me.
Thank you once again to Gil Alexander. Do check out Gil's podcast at Beating the Book. Check out all the lines for the NFL on Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, by going to sports.williamhill.com and clicking on American Football. Thank you for downloading this podcast as well. You can check out all William Hill's podcasts at audioboom.com. And myself and Gil will be back for the final week of the regular season next weekend. If you're having a bet, good luck.
Get a £5 free bet every week with Offer Club from William Hill.
Hey, oh, let's go, let's go.
Simply stake a total of £20 or more across the week on pre-match football accumulators with four or more selections, and you'll get a £5 free bet on the Friday. Plus, you can get on faster and easier than ever with our new and improved mobile betting experience. Join William Hill Offer Club on mobile or online now. When the fun stops, stop.